At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. We have a special guest here again tonight. He's been with us a couple of times before. Johnny Fever Satterfield is in the big chair in between Freddie and...
in the big boy chair.
Behind us, behind me, as we mentioned last week, Mr. Electricity himself, Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar, a man who's always wearing his baggies and his Hirachi sandals to the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
I got my Bengals Nikes on.
What's a Hirachi sandal?
Jordan's Air Force.
You're not much of a Beach Boys fan, Tuna?
No, I don't think so.
That's just a line from Surfing USA.
Oh.
They'll all be wearing their baggies, Hirachi sandals, too. I'm not exactly sure what a Hirachi sandal is, to be perfectly frank with you. I just think it's a catchy line.
Well, I feel like if we're gonna quote something, we should know what it is. So I want everyone to do a report on what a Hirachi sandal is, and we can discuss it next week.
Well, it's a good thing we have somebody behind us that...
Mr. Electric?
Yeah, one of his jobs down here is to look stuff up that we inevitably don't know. It happens at least 10 times a program.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys, it's great to have everybody down here tonight. Want to remind everybody to give us a follow on social media, on Twitter, at Blockout Pod, on Facebook. Just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. I understand Fred has introduced himself to the world of Twitter. Is this true?
Yes, I have. Thank you, Johnny. I am Freddie Bender's Twitter bound at Freddie Bender's
23
for MJ.
No.
Give me your Twitter handle again. At Freddie Bender's 23. Excellent. Everybody give him a follow on there. He's promised to be nothing but positive and give out nothing but good vibes.
Nothing but positive and one-liners is my goal.
Of course, the first thing that he said he was going to tweet out was neither of those things the other day. So I'm glad that that didn't actually come to fruition.
Can you get put in Twitter jail like you can on Facebook jail?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what's the over-under on how long before he gets put in Twitter jail?
Do we all need to put our handles on? What's your handle?
I'm Matt the Tuna.
Okay.
Very simple. At Matt the Tuna.
I am at Tupelo _T. Jody, are you on Twitter?
I just started one last week with Freddie, and I have no idea what it is because I haven't looked at it since.
But we are going to start.
But I can look it up.
This is a great week to start digging around on our...
Yeah, I actually tweeted out a few things.
I saw that about the NBA All-Star Game.
About the All-Star Game from the Blockout Twitter account, which has mostly sat dormant except for updates and posting new episodes. But I just wanted to kind of try it out, see how much reach. One of those tweets got like 300 views or something like that, which I thought was interesting. But we will get more and more active on social media going forward. Fred, it's good to have you join this century from a technological standpoint.
Yes, I'm amped. Hell, I'm getting quicker news from that than I am any other way.
Well,
I do think it should be
said. I think
said.
That's why it was invented.
I know.
I do want everybody to
know. I figured
that
out this
before
weekend.
Fred could get on Twitter, I actually had to create his first ever email address.
So yes, yes.
It was a big day.
Well,
big
wait
day.
A minute.
You have a Bill's Cheese.
No, I have an email address, but I didn't have a Gmail type thing. Or,
like a personal email address.
My point exactly. Yeah. One of those Gmail type things.
Congratulations on your patience, Johnny. I couldn't imagine like this whole scenario.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, I got a great picture I want you to use.
But your picture does look like you're a realtor.
Dude, I look, you know what? You know what? I thought I looked like a head coach, an assistant coach.
Yeah. In the late 90s, like,
I was a mortgage broker for a while, and that is my picture.
That's what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like. Like, coaches now, their pictures, they all have like quarter zips and stuff. Like,
yeah. The Jim Nance way.
Hey, Fred. Do you still have a MySpace page, though?
I don't know.
I might want to check on that. I bet you do.
I may.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I have a CB handle, too.
You
Rubber
and
Ducky.
Tom. They're the only last two people on there.
I mean, Tuna, you listen to CB every once in a while in the garage,
don't
you?
Don't knock it, dude. Nothing wrong with talking on CB.
Hey, squirrels out there, come on.
So,
gotta know when the bandit's coming through.
Talking about how I sent some tweets out during the NBA All-Star game, I wanted to start with that. Indianapolis, once again, like we talked about last week, Indianapolis showed out. Did a fantastic job of hosting another big-time sporting event. From what I understand from people that were up there, even though they had a snow that they weren't anticipating, the whole weekend went off basically without a hitch. Most people had glowing things to say about it. Saturday night, I thought, was a very entertaining few hours of television with the...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, sure.
What about Friday night?
Well, yeah, why don't you start off with Friday night?
Well, the Rising Stars, wait a minute, you want to talk about the celebrity game? I had Tuna watching that for a while in the garage bar, the celebrity match, and we're like, who the hell are these people?
That's what I was going to say. I watched like 5 minutes of it, and I didn't know who any of the celebrities were, so it took a lot of the... took a lot of the cachet away.
Right, I saw that one of the celebrities on Twitter, I saw that one of the celebrities got mad because he didn't get MVP and they wouldn't throw him the ball. I'm not quite sure who it is. I think it was a rapper of some sort. But anyways, I thought that was kind of funny. But on to the Rising Star. Tuna had country music going. We had 90s country music going, and we were watching that. So we didn't really know who any of them were.
I thought it was perfect background music for a basketball game.
It was great, dude. Yeah. And but the Rising Stars game, which I DVR, I like to watch it back and da-da-da. But it was the Rising Stars game, I think, is sometimes more fun than the All-Star game, really. Did you watch it, Travis? What do you think of the format they did? Did you see that?
I actually did not watch the game.
They did the, now, and I'm sure someone's going to correct me because I'm not quite sure the true stipulations, but for the most part, it was four teams, and it was the G League.
The three teams were NBA players, and one was a G League team.
Right.
And they all had seven players on it.
And they all had seven players. And the G League team upset Wimbayana's team, which was a huge upset.
Well,
they did a
bracket.
Was
they did,
the
they
team.
Did a semifinal and then a final. And
right.
The G League team got to the final.
The G League team got to the final and did lose. Benedict Mathurin, a hometown boy, was given the MVP, which didn't happen in the All-Star game, which we will get to. But
yes.
But Mac McClung was on the team, and he played great, man. That kid is good, I'm telling you. And they had a couple other guys.
Does anyone ever remember him at Georgetown?
No.
No.
Like, always when I think about Texas Tech basketball, I think about Mike McClung. But, like, the fact that he wore a Georgetown uniform blows my mind.
No. Yeah.
I can't even picture that.
A six-foot white guy playing for Georgetown? No.
But I really did think that McClung stood out as a great distributor. He played.
How did Tshiebwe do?
Tshiebwe had 20.
Oh, good. Good.
He had a couple of his dumb turnovers as usual, but then he kind of got the team heated up when they won.
I honestly thought he was probably the second or third best player that played all night.
Yeah.
He played really well.
Right. There was a kid that I can't think of his name, but he scored 20 for the team, hitting a bunch of threes and so forth. But anyways, it was fun. I kind of wish it would have just been one. I mean, the games didn't go long enough for me. I mean, they got to 30 or 40 time.
The format in the first two games was the first team that scored 40 points. So because of that, there was more defense, I guess.
And there was, and yeah.
And then the final, it was the first team to 25. So that should have been a little bit longer. It's a better format than Sunday night.
Yeah, but there's some good players in the G League that are moving up, and I think that that's a positive thing. I think the G League is a good thing. I mean, I'm, you know.
Well, then on Saturday, you had the skills competition, which I thought was really fun. It was especially cool because the Pacers team, so they had a Pacers team, they had an all-star team, and then they had a team made up of former number one overall draft picks.
Okay.
And they had several different stages. So there was like a passing stage, a general skills stage, and then a shooting stage. And the Pacers team won the first two stages. And then the shooting stage was won by the All-Star team. And then that led to the tiebreak stage, which was kind of goofy, but it was the first team to hit a half-court shot. So the guys just kept shooting half-court shots, and the All-Star team went first. And I forget, it took them like, I want to say a minute and a half or something before they hit one. And then the Pacers had that time to hit one, and they did and won. So that was cool.
Nice.
For the hometown. And then the three-point competition, which I always think is great. That was really good again. And then the contest between Steph Curry and I'm going to probably butcher this lady. It's Ionescu.
From Oregon.
Is her name? Is that right?
Didn't she play for Oregon
Nailed
or
it.
Baylor? One or the other.
Ionescu, I believe. Yeah. But they had that was a neat competition, and Steph hit the shot at the very end to win it. And then the dunk contest, which to me, you know, it's supposed to be the culmination of Saturday
can
night.
Can I say something here, Travis?
Yeah,
you know, I would love to see the Legends three-point contest. I want to see Bird get back out there and shoot some threes and see who out of the Legends can still shoot the rock. Mm. I think that would be cool, dude.
Barely walk. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know, but you could get some guys out there that could shoot. I'm sure Mitch Richmond could shoot the three still. And I'm not talking about Ray Allen. I mean, he's fresh off still playing. But get some of the, not old-timers, but you know there's some old cats out there. Give them a rack of balls that can still pop the ball up.
I think they're all too proud for that.
I'd like to see.
Yeah. They're not going to get on that
you think
stage.
So?
No.
Yeah.
I did have a thought going into next year if they want to do the – obviously, Steph will be the men's choice, but Caitlin Clark will be a WNBA player next year. She hits it from half court all the time.
True.
I think that could be an interesting – I wouldn't mind a little Steph versus Caitlin Clark.
Well, they talked about that. They talked about doing duos, and I can't pronounce her last name either. Her first name's Sabrina that Steph went against.
Uh-huh.
I do want to point out, if she was in the men's three-point contest – she would have made the finals how well she scored against
him. Well, dude, she was the dynamo that played a couple years ago.
But they're talking next year, Sabrina and Caitlin versus Seth and Steph and somebody else.
Right.
Now, theoretically,
Dame.
Caitlin Clark could come back for another year in college. We're all hoping that she doesn't, because if she doesn't, she's going to be in Indianapolis playing for the Fever.
There you go.
She might make more money in college.
Well,
honestly,
that's
she actually is.
Yeah,
that's kind of what they were. But here's the thing:
like that Miami tight end.
I heard some people talking about that and actually asked that question. But then somebody brought out a good point and said, "Well, it's not like she's going to lose her collegiate endorsements when she goes to the pro level, so she's going to keep all that money." Plus, she'll be getting probably the biggest salary in the history of the WNBA. So I don't think she would lose money. I don't think it's a question of she's going to make more from a college standpoint.
Don't you think maybe like there's a chance that she's a bigger star in college than she will be in the pros? Like,
well, I think the hope...
she can capitalize on more opportunities in college.
I think the hope is that she does... to the WNBA, what she's been able to do with the college game. Because obviously, I mean, we've seen some tremendous women's college basketball players and teams in the last 15, 20 years, but...
I just feel like women's college basketball is so much bigger than WNBA. There's much more loyal fans across, you know, people tune in to watch it more.
It's become that way.
Yeah.
It is, and I think the hope is that she becomes the face of the WNBA.
Which, while we're talking about it, this calendar week, she became the NCAA all-time leading women's scorer, which it'd be crazy to talk about her for 5 minutes and not throw that in there. So congrats to Caitlin Clark.
No, I'm glad you brought that up because I have it here. Kelsey Plum, there's been a lot of stuff out there. So she was the previous all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball. There's been a lot of people come out and say, well, you know, Caitlin Clark played more years, whatever. I'm looking it up. Caitlin Clark broke the record in quicker games, 129 games versus 136 games over Kelsey Plum. So for all you all out there saying that stuff, that is false. Caitlin Clark did it quicker, and she still has a whole another year to score more. She's probably going to break Pistol Pete's record. Now, granted, he only played 3 years.
No three-point line either. Just going to mention that.
True. There will be an asterisk there. I get that.
Well, I hope that she decides to turn pro for the sake of the women's professional game and for the sake of the Indiana Fever. I think that would be super cool to have her in Indianapolis. But I'm going to be rooting like hell against her on Thursday night when the Hawkeyes come to Assembly Hall to play Indiana, which should be a tremendous game. I think that game is on Peacock, by the way. Shout out to Colin. He goes to all the Indiana women's games, and he will be there, obviously.
Damn, what a fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell.
Tuna, who's your team? U of L?
Yeah.
You ever been out there?
I have been to two women's games.
Okay.
And they're actually, it's a great time to go.
It is.
Well, especially the past two seasons, we've had more fans there.
Yeah.
But, like, even before when the Yum Center was first built, you know, and you'd go down there, and it was jam-packed on the men's games. During the women's games, you were able to, like, walk around, see the place, and actually sit and enjoy the game without too much of a crowd there, which the crowd has grown a lot since then. I mean, we're putting, what, 15,000 out there for every women's home
game?
Well,
and Louisville has been obviously really good for, what, the better part of a decade.
Well, it goes to show, like, this year, they're considering, like, a bit of a letdown season, and we're, what, 18-6 right now, I believe.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to go in the tournament and be a you know, top six seed. But we've gotten so used to making Elite Eights and Final Fours that it's like, well, we're not going to do that. It's a disappointing season.
Well,
so.
And Jeff Walls is one hell of a basketball coach.
We've been lucky to keep him, man.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
But that brings us to Sunday, the culmination of All-Star Weekend and the game Sunday night.
You're not going to talk about the dunk contest Saturday night?
It was what we
Jacob Toppin got hosed.
I was about to say, I mean, the dunk contest.
And Mac McClung only did, he did the same dunk over and over again. It was just over different people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you jump over tall guys.
Yeah, I thought it was very boring.
We've said for many years, and even I saw some current and former players come out, in order to make it feel like it used to feel.
Put the basket at 12 feet.
Well, they just need the stars to compete in it again. You need the stars to be in the dunk contest.
They had some great judges. They were tough, though.
Yeah, well, some of them they were. I mean, they were just giving scores out to some. Jaylen Brown didn't do anything special, and he got like a 49 on a dunk that I think he closed his eyes on after he hit the ground. Yeah, like, I didn't really understand it.
I remember my childhood, like Dwight Howard blowing out a candle in a cupcake that was sitting on the rim, jumping over a car. Like, where are the theatrics and the superstars?
Where's Spud Webb when you need him?
That was Blake Griffin, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Carter shoving his whole arm down the rim. That was pretty awesome. I think everything's already been done, but I don't know.
Dwight Howard grabbed a dollar coin off the top of the backboard and then dunked the ball.
Okay, equally as cool as blowing out a candle. So that's the point, though. It's like, where are these?
You just need the stars to be in it again. The top dog players.
I don't know, man. I could watch LeBron and who's the other top player? Giannis go back and forth doing shitty dunks, and I mean, I don't think I'd get as excited about it. Like, there's just, I don't care if I know the guy or not. Like, Mike McClung, like, nobody really knew him other than college basketball fans. He comes on last year and does some amazing stuff, even though it looks better because he's, like, 5'10". So anytime you're short, everything's going to look cooler in the dunk contest.
I think from a fan standpoint, at least for me, I want to see the stars. That's why I'm at the All-Star game. I want to see the Jordans and the Dominiques.
Well, like y'all said about the old men, I don't think that's going to happen. Like the legends coming to do three-point shooters, I don't think them guys are ever going to come back.
It probably isn't. But, you know, the dunk contest was what it's been for the last several years, which was anticlimactic after all the other entertaining stuff we saw. But then the real anticlimactic thing that happened was Sunday night, the actual All-Star game. And I sent out a tweet at halftime, as I alluded to earlier, that the only thing that I was continuing watching for was to see if one team could hit 200 points.
Right.
Which I was serious about it, but I also kind of wanted that to happen just to illustrate how ridiculous the All-Star game was, that a team has a chance to score 200 points.
Right, right.
To call it a pickup game is almost insulting to pickup games, because I've played a lot of pickup basketball in my life, and I know you guys have too. I'm not sure I've ever been involved in a pickup game where there was less defense played than there was in that game.
When you're playing a pickup game, you're playing to stay on the court.
Yeah, it was a lot of
blood
and elbow.
So you're going to try to win. You don't want to go sit.
I know the MLB's shifted since then, but like, how would NBA fans feel if that was home court advantage for the finals, or if there were some legitimate real stakes on the game?
Yeah, I don't like.
Apparently, you just got to offer them $50,000. That's what everybody got into in that in-season tournament.
I don't like the idea of the home court advantage. I don't like that, but I do like Fred. You mentioned before, staying on the court. What if they did something like they did in the Rising Stars game, where they split the teams up, and then maybe, you know, two teams play each other it's win or get off the court.
Right.
Type of thing.
Like, hey, you can be, and that would be, if there's something there where you can be embarrassed.
For real pride. Like, for real pride.
Right, right.
And then put a pay scale on it. Make the lowest one $25,000, the highest one $250,000. Not the home court advantage.
I'd say you just make it like $25 and be like, Hey, enjoy your Big Mac meal tonight, dog. We just whooped you.
That's what America loves seeing, rich guys get richer. Like, I mean, the monetary. Shave their heads. Losers have to shave their heads.
There you go. I like it.
How about each guy on the team has to put up $1 million of his own money? And it's a winner take all.
That's like us putting up $20 for a Super Bowl square. I don't know.
We say that, but even to those guys, $1 million is a lot of money.
$20 a lot to me. I'll show you my bank account, buddy.
But there has to be something done. And, I mean, you had
something with an edge, not something like something with an edge.
You had
is what they're missing.
You had
too fun laced.
You had a lot of players come out after the game and admit
well, they interviewed all of
that. It was pretty much unacceptable. I loved Adam Silver when he was presenting the trophy. He could barely hide his absolute disdain. He said, "Congratulations to the East team. You scored more points than them." And just handed the trophy like he was completely disgusted.
Well, he needs to do something about it.
Well, he had been trying. He had been doing everything but basically begging for the last 2 weeks, going on all these shows going, "We've got to put on a competitive product, a competitive game. People are getting tired of the way that this game has been going." And I think he expected more. No,
I just wish he was in a position of power to make decisions and change
it. Yeah, he handed the league over. Yeah. But
so it's like you could do something if you were
a commissioner.
Yeah.
But All-Star games, that's kind of what you get. Other than the MLB All-Star game, like what – the Pro Bowl's not competitive. I mean, they
and that's what we were all talking about.
The NHL's not competitive.
I would say that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is probably still the best.
I guarantee it's the only one that a majority of people watch from front to finish.
Right.
Most All-Star games, people tune in, they watch the first 5 minutes, the introductions, all that, you know, the horse and pony show. And I don't think that's the right saying. But you know what I mean?
No,
and
I do.
I could argue, I mean, you can't compare sports, but you would think baseball is probably the least risk of injury any given night. And basketball, it's happening, but you're not – I mean, I understand why the Pro Bowl's not hard-hitting, hard-nosed football.
Yeah, but the season's over with.
Yeah.
Suck it up. Get out there and lay some wood.
I'm with you. I wish it was like that.
I hear you.
Basketball seems like the sport you could play 80%, still put out a good product, and give the fans something.
I think someone's going to come along, and we're going to get what we want at some point.
You at least – I mean, I'm not asking for them to go out and, like, you know, bash each other in the paint. I'm literally just asking for – when a guy catches the ball outside the three-point line, stick a hand up in the guy's face.
Right,
like, they were just
right.
standing there letting him shoot. And then you had the goofy
stuff.
Well,
Luka's shooting from the other basket and dumb crap like that.
The goofy stuff with you know, Lillard, I mean, he hit a couple of them, but shooting half-court shots for no reason.
Right.
And
that, I mean, I know those guys can do it, and it is cool when they hit it. But, like, most people want to see a game, like, some I like to see, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I guarantee you Kevin Durant was embarrassed as hell when he got nutmegged. Not that that had anything to do with
what
the game.
What
does that mean? Well,
Trey Young
came
it
down
in between
and
his legs.
Bounced it. But, like,
that's called a nutmeg?
Well, in soccer it is.
Oh, okay.
And, But they called it that in the game too. They said that he was nutmegged. But anyways, and that's kind of a new thing. Wimbanyana tried it in the Rising Stars. But you know, but dude, if there's a person that has some pride that I think Kevin Durant doesn't like to be embarrassed, I can tell you that. And he was.
Well, and Tyrese Halliburton should have won the MVP.
Yeah. I don't know. Carl Anthony Towns only had 50.
Yeah. But
they
lost.
I know, but I've seen a losing MVP back in the 90s and 80s win an All-Star MVP.
Yeah, but
the losing
but the final score was probably like 138 to 136, not 211 to 180 or whatever it was. But I'm like,
still
we said,
25% of his team's points.
We don't have the answers, but there needs to be some changes. And I think this year might have been the tipping point, because you actually have current players calling out the lack of competitive product and kind of the, I mean, really, it was as a basketball fan, it was embarrassing.
At this point,
I mean,
you'd rather watch them. You'd rather watch the NBA All-Stars play other sports. So that would have been more entertaining, trying to watch
hell
them hit
yeah.
a baseball or
hell yeah.
do something.
I would rather
get Wimbiana out there on the bump throwing 40 miles an hour.
If they're going to do a flag football game for the Pro Bowl, I would honestly, I'm not kidding, I would rather watch an all-star horse game for $5 million, winner take all.
Gotta go to Mexico for that.
And you play horse with all the however many guys, you play horse for, and it would take like 2 hours.
It would.
And winner take all, $5 million. I'm watching that.
Yeah. That said, the Pro Bowl was the best well-received Pro Bowl it has been in like 20-something years this year. It has picked up, and that stadium was almost sold out. Travis, I think it's a great time to ask the listeners to, on Facebook or whatever, see what their suggestions are for the
Absolutely. NBA. I would love to hear from you guys. What would you like to see? Did you watch the All-Star game? I'm not even sure how many people are big NBA fans that are – I mean, we skew towards college football and basketball and the NFL, but Fred and I are both big NBA fans, and Jody has become a big NBA bettor, and we're trying to get Tuna on board. Although
I gave it a month. I gave it everything I got. Sometimes you just realize it's not
for
you.
Your team fizzled.
Well, not even that. Like, I mean, they were fizzled before I even started. Like, what were they? They had like what, 4 wins when
your best player got hurt.
My team aside, man, like I just cannot get into the games. They're not exciting until there's like 4 minutes left in the game.
Right, but the playoffs are. Just like
I did it. I enjoyed the playoffs last year. It's just I can't get into an 82-game season of just lackadaisical play. And that's what it seems like to me.
Well, when you're used to watching Louisville play, I mean, anything seems lackadaisical after that.
Before this past 2 years, they played exciting basketball.
I'll tell you what gets
fun. And you got to admit, college basketball, I mean, I'm like this. You guys don't have to admit it, but I think college basketball, the product blows the NBA away. Well, I can watch almost any college basketball game.
You didn't watch last night.
Huh?
You didn't watch last night.
What, the college Houston game?
No.
Houston and Iowa State?
That was a great game. The other three games were awful.
Okay.
Awful.
Well, what? I mean, you're going to watch some random – what we got, Fred?
Well, what about I don't know. The NBA, this is the way I think you need to watch the NBA if you're a fan that hasn't started watching games.
The last four minutes of a game.
No, you go to TBS TNT and you watch the greatest show assembled.
When that's the selling point, is like watching Shaq and Charles Barkley.
Dude, I mean, I love it.
I think it's great too, but it's a better product than what's on the court.
And you kind of watch and you get to hear Barkley complain about all these prima donnas and da da da. Then you get into the game but I think when you watch an NBA game, you have to already know what you're getting. You know that these guys aren't necessarily – they're going to play hard right before
– So you're
with
accepting
a minute to go of every quarter. No, I'm going to tell you that one player that you probably never heard of is going to go over to the baseline, and he ain't ever going to miss that shot.
Yeah.
Ain't ever going to miss it because he's a professional.
That's what I'm saying. Just sitting there watching guys like jack shots and like – those shots, there's a high percentage chance that shot's going in, and then they run down to the court and jack another one, and that's probably going in. It's just not appealing to me. It's like watching.
But that's pretty not easy to do because you.
No,
sure
I agree. It's not
it
easy
college.
To do. Yeah, it's amazing to watch.
I think,
but it's boring to watch.
I think, and here's what I've always said about college versus the pros, is that the pageantry and the allegiance that we have to our teams or our conference in college basketball covers up a lot of deficiencies of the actual ball games.
And the play sets and watching, you know, coaches actually like dial up these plays coming out of timeouts and what you have to do to earn an open look. That's so much different than what you get in the NBA.
Right. Well, the hand check rule and all that changed a lot in the NBA.
Yeah, you can't touch anybody in the NBA.
Think of any sport. Any sport. The coach has the power, to me, other than the NBA. The players in the NBA are more powerful, more important than the coach.
Without a doubt. That doesn't make a difference.
You don't see a pitcher arguing the manager to get pulled in a baseball game, football.
You ever watch Clayton Kershaw get yanked?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the coaches are an afterthought in the NBA, and that's the only sport I've ever observed that in.
No, you're right. It is.
I'm going to disagree with that because at the NBA level, it's a completely different type of coaching.
Right. No,
but,
you're right.
But those guys, you want to talk about guys that can draw up plays out of a timeout? There are 20 guys in the NBA that are better than the best guy in college.
Right.
Then why is it such a revolving door? And then you have coaches like fail in college miserably and they go to the NBA and they have success.
Dude,
who's the guy at Utah? Quinn Snyder or whatever?
Quinn Snyder.
He was
a
good college coach.
Right.
Yeah.
He was at Missouri. And then,
you know why?
Yeah.
Because in the NBA, you don't have to recruit. You don't have to deal with boosters.
Yeah, but that's not calling plays. Like,
well, no, they're right, dude. They're doing plays every time out.
So you're saying
in the
like,
NBA.
And when all you have to do is
focus. I mean,
you
have to watch it to see them, but they're doing plays.
It seems like there's such a revolving door of coaches in the NBA. I couldn't name more than five head coaches.
Well, there is,
in the
but
NBA.
You're just not into it yet. The thing, I think you're more of an adrenaline junkie. And I'm just being honest with you, and Travis is going to agree with me. I know he is, and that's not it's not a bad thing, Tuna. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but the NBA is almost, and I love this about it, and that's just me, but it is a simplistic grandpa attitude when you're watching an NBA game during the week. Bump, 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 bump. Like baseball, they got the organ guy playing. It starts off slow. Guys go with their kid. You know, you go get food. You come out. It's not set up to be this intense Kentucky versus U of L game. Let's tip it off. It's going to be wild. And that part of it is because it's 82 games. But I think that's what a lot of people drives them to the NBA. It's good basketball. No, they're not giving 1,000% and getting court burns on their elbows every play, but they do hit great shots, and there are plays that are being drawn up, and you just got to kind of, you know, they're looking to win at home. They're looking to, when they're at home, they're looking to win. They're looking at their rivals that are involved in their divisions. When they're playing them, it's amped up more. When they're playing someone from the West Coast, and if they're not good, it's not really a great game. But it is kind of, the NBA is, until the playoffs start, more of a grandpa-type laid-back, let's just watch some basketball and not rush into anything here. Whereas if you're watching the hockey,
It is
fast paced. That isn't the playoffs yet.
I think my only thing is, and we're just going to agree to disagree completely on this, I just feel like the shooting has gotten so good in the NBA that it's ruined the visual aspect of the game, watching it. Like, I mean,
yeah,
that's so interesting that you say that because what drives me crazy about watching college basketball is I don't think anybody
can
shoot anymore.
They can't make anything.
It makes me crazy. Like, that is one thing I came out of the All-Star game, which was like, Well, at least when these guys are open, they can hit their shots.
Right.
So you guys
yeah.
just like watching
none of the
guys
UK
run up
players
and down
can
and
hit
just
a shot
shoot open shots
in college, and now they can make everything in the NBA.
I don't know.
It seems like it just comes.
It's
down
like
to,
when guys have to really work hard to get a bucket. I don't know. There's just something about
well,
that.
It comes down to
it
college.
It makes the bucket mean more.
If you said two words, college and NBA, effort and skill.
Right.
And some people, I think. Me and Tuna probably like the effort, and some people like the skill,
there
and that's
go.
Completely fine.
I mean,
that's
a great Travis, way to put when it. We go to a Pacer game and we get there, there ain't a whole lot of people getting freaking crazy amped up. It's like tip off, and then everybody kind of goes, leans back in their chair, and it actually slows down. Whereas in college, the tip goes off and everybody's up and ready to go. And you know what
well,
I'm saying?
Believe me, and I'm probably gotten more sensitive to the fact that of teams that can't shoot because I've been watching Indiana for the last 2 years. And it just it makes my heart so happy to see dudes that can actually shoot. You know, when they're open, hit open jump
but
shots.
They don't have anyone on a lot, but they can make great shots. You got to admit, they work on their game.
And the defense.
I mean, or they wouldn't be that good at shooting if they didn't work hard
well,
during
course,
practice.
Of course. And
tell Iverson that.
The defense in the NBA is much better game to game than most people give it credit for.
Right.
It's just that the offense is that much better.
Yeah. Well, but, I think you need to put the hand check and roll back in.
But that's I mean, we already went on a different tangent than I anticipated. But that's an interesting
There's no
conversation.
No other sports going on. Let's beat the hell out of that horse.
It's an interesting conversation and one that I'm sure we will revisit as the NBA season carries on. But now that we have kind of opened the college basketball can of worms, I know we watched, I think most of us watched the Houston, Iowa State
and that,
last night, which was a wildly entertaining game.
I gave it my all to stay up for the end of that game, man. That was great.
Iowa State really took like 10 big punches and they just kept coming back and kept coming back. That is a team that I would not want to play in March. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No, not at all. they're fight. I don't know, man. They like I said, effort. That
like
team has like
they,
effort,
they
like
take
crazy.
Their coach's personality
and the environment was great. Houston has all the pieces to make a deep. Obviously, they're ranked number two in the country, but to make a deep, deep run. But I'm telling you, those two teams play each other on a neutral court 10 times. Houston maybe would win six. It's a fascinating matchup. I thought both coaches were very, very good last night. I even thought the officiating was pretty good last night.
Yeah, it was kind of a little fluky cover right there at the end.
Yes,
though.
It was. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Everybody needs to follow Sheed. I love Sheed, the point guard for Houston, a.k.a. the garbage man. Tuna, do you know why he is nicknamed that?
Because he cleans up all of his teammates' messes in the locker room.
No, but funny that you say that because he did do that. In the tournament last year when Houston lost in the Elite Eight, I think it was, one of the players walking through the tunnel grabbed a garbage can and picked it up and threw it on the ground.
I remember when that happened.
He's walking behind him and walks over and picks up every single piece of trash and puts it in the garbage can and sets the garbage can back up.
What a guy.
You know,
is LeBron James doing that?
And, no, but it is a funny story. And it was a story on CBS Sportsline today.
I remember
about
when that
him
happened.
Doing that.
I had no idea that that was him.
Interesting story. If you can find it, it's on CBS Sportsline. And it goes into his childhood and so forth and tells you just what kind of guy he really is. Check it out. Sheed, the point guard, a.k.a. the garbage man, he will be playing in the tournament, March Madness. So he's one of my guys after reading it. It's cool.
They made a comment during that game last night. They said if
– he had 26 last night.
The entire coaching staff was fined or on probation for a week, he could run practice and they wouldn't miss a beat. So I do like that kid.
Yeah.
And Travis, you're officiating last night. I'm glad they didn't call all the calls because there would have been 8,000 fouls. So they let them play. But that game was crazy to watch. I mean, there was a foul every 5 seconds.
Well, and I think that's what I appreciated about the officiating from the very beginning. I thought they were very consistent. They kind of, at the very beginning, I thought they took control. It was very, very physical the first 5 minutes, I thought. And they kind of nipped that in the bud and told the guys, this is the line, don't cross it. And I thought that the players responded in kind. And I thought the officiating from that point on was very consistent. And I just thought it was a great college basketball. And don't let me, you know, as much as I was sticking up for the NBA and saying it.
No, you
me,
hate college basketball. They can't shoot. It sucks to watch.
It does drive me nuts that guys can't shoot. It really does. But there are things that elevate the college game, like the atmosphere.
I think the
yeah, I don't
intensity.
Think it has to be one versus the other. There's just no. You know, there's fans that love both, and then there's just like and me that I like
do
college
love
basketball
both.
And don't like the NBA.
I do love.
I think
both.
The refs in the NBA get it right. Maybe they don't have to work as hard, but some of the refereeing in college.
Oh, and you think men's college is bad? Watch some women's college basketball. That's the worst officiating there ever has been.
There is no worse officiating. And if you haven't really watched a lot of women's basketball and you have Peacock, take a few minutes out of your time on Thursday night and watch the Indiana-Iowa game. It's the marquee game of the night. It should be the number one officiating crew in the country working the game. And I promise you, you will be flabbergasted at how horrendous it is. It's an epidemic. I mean, if you watch the Louisville games, yeah. I watch a lot of the Louisville women's games.
Jeff Walls actually got fined for his comments after that.
Yeah, as well he should have. I mean, no, he shouldn't have been fined. He was right in what he said.
Well, I think a funny quote came from Mark Ennis, which is a local radio personality here in Louisville. He said, as long as that money goes to the conference hiring better referees, we're fine with it.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But other than that, I mean, I don't know, man. Officiating in college men's, there's just some highlights to it. I mean, I don't know. It seems like certain officials will make calls to, like, take over games in moments that it doesn't need to be taken over. And then that's where it stands out.
Yeah.
I mean, you see a lot more of that on, like, the bigger stage games, it seems like. Like, I don't know. I feel like I can watch a San Diego State and, you know, St. Mary's game, even though they're
St. Mary's
two
baby.
Top 25 teams, and I don't feel like the officiating is as awful as it would be for a Kentucky Auburn game.
You are right, dude.
You know what I mean?
It's just out West Coast late night game. No, mm-hmm. You're right. It is very strange.
Yeah.
And it's the refs that are getting all the money. The Ted Valent. I know he ain't around no more. But it's people like that make it about them and not the game.
When you know an official's name,
that's a bad thing.
Big issue.
Yep.
I know.
Yep, there's no doubt about that. And that brings us to, I know that UK had been kind of on a little bit of a downswing.
Listening to what Jody and I said last week.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's an understatement.
So we were correct going into that.
Right, we were.
And
I'm kidding.
I did think it was interesting because Jody had sent out a text on our thread, something about how he would consider it a win if they lost by less than 20, I think, or something like that.
I did.
And at halftime, I think I sent you a text and said, can you send some of that reverse psychology juju towards Indiana?
You did.
Because Kentucky played a hell of a ball game and would you guys agree that's their biggest win of the year?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. That North Carolina, but they looked much better in this game.
They haven't won down there in on the plains. I hope all their toilet paper.
I know it really upset you to see Auburn get beat by anybody.
Can't stand them. And dude, the way Pearl runs around on all over the court, sweating with his T-shirt on, out of the coaching box all the time, and
see,
he gets away with everything.
That makes college basketball great.
I know, and I love it.
Guys like that
got me fired up.
I agree with you. He had a great press conference after the game.
Bruce Pearl. Yeah, I love to hate him, but I like him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like him, too.
I think he's great.
It's the best D we played all year.
Yeah.
We were consistent is the issue. It wasn't spectacular. They shot 30%. They lost one of their best players in the first 8 minutes
of the game. Right, they did.
Didn't help.
Truly noted. Let me ask you a question.
We stayed on top, though, because remember all these games we've lost? We've lost games by 10 points, 8 points.
Right.
That we were up 14-16 in the first half.
Travis,
That's been my issue.
Right, and you've watched Kentucky play, correct, Travis?
Of course.
Many times this year. And so I went through a thing at the end of the game with after it was over, we all talked around. You know, you try to find things that – to discuss after a win and a decisive win, there's not too much to say except be happy. But who, in your opinion, and let me tell you something, I asked quite a few fans and they gave me different people, and I thought that was interesting. I think that is a positive thing, number one. But who is Kentucky's this year on a team that is, let me tell you, they're not even going to be, they may be a six seed or whatever. They're going to be a Vegas darling, trust me. They can upset a team that's not going to, and they're not going to be ranked up there. Who is Kentucky's leader?
We don't have one, but the guy that has the most heart, and when he plays well, we play well, is Thiero.
Okay.
Period.
I thought that was interesting because I had someone tell me that Thiero is the leader, and he has been out hurt a little bit here and there. He's been on the team for a couple years.
And I know you were really high on him last season.
I was high on him early on when everyone didn't even know who
last season
he was.
Right. You loved him.
Right, right. I did. And he was still growing, and of course he's gained some weight too.
He 25 pounds and lost body fat.
Right, but
I
he
said
can
that
jump
early
out
in the
of
year.
The gym.
That dunk he had the other night was incredible.
Right.
Best
well,
dunk I've seen
and,
all
and
year.
This is what you're gonna have, and I don't want to get into this long thing about Kentucky because there's so many other great teams out there. I mean, we could break down UConn for an hour and still that's how great they are. But it is interesting to find out who the leader is. It a lot of people told me Reed Shepherd is the leader of the team, the quiet leader that everybody knows. Everyone in Lexington loves Reed Shepherd, so he's kind of holding it on his shoulders, but still distributing the ball and sometimes doesn't start or whatever. Or is it the All-American? Antonio Reeves is our leader, which he's very quiet. Wagner is named as a freshman leader who, if he doesn't play, sometimes we look out of whack. A great defensive player. I've seen him in people's faces a lot as a freshman. So I think what I'm getting at is Kentucky is one of them.
Can I tell you who your leader is?
Who? Yeah.
Terrence Marshall.
Mitchell.
Terrence Mitchell.
Thank you.
The transfer from West Virginia.
And that's who I think our leader is. No. Thank you, Tuna.
Shout out Terrence Marshall, LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, dude, I think Mitchell is our leader. Trey Mitchell and has not been playing very good.
Well, he didn't play last year.
And he's been hurt. And he's been hurt. More phantom injuries that I'd never see on the court.
Well, it's a dislocated shoulder, isn't it?
Well, he got hurt this time. He did re-injure it.
Yeah.
He re-injured it. But I think Kentucky is one of them teams looking for that leader. Who is their leader? And I think that
in the locker room,
they know who their leader is. But I don't think anyone outside knows who the leader
is. Don't look at this year. Look at the last 5 years. We have never had one person come on the court in the last 5 years and get in the player's face on the court.
I agree.
And point fingers and say,
someone
you go here, you go there.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that in 5 years, Jerry.
What was the game where you guys had a road game and all the freshmen were buckling and your boy came out there and started talking trash to the fans to draw attention away from the freshman to get everybody, all the fans jumping on him as opposed. That's a leader to me.
Right. No, I hear you. And I think that Kentucky needs to make find that leader, because they have some people on that team that can go one way or the other. Like,
Orlando Antigua was your true leader.
Dilly is a Dill. No, no, he's not. He is far from it. So is Boner or whatever.
Boner.
His name. Bone Crusher, Flint, whatever. Good God.
Kenny Payne won those games. Kenny Payne won those games.
Bone Crusher, coaches. Flint.
What I call him, Boner Flint. And
Bruiser.
Mike Sewer's buddy from Groton Payne's Boner's on the coaching staff.
But I think that this is a real, as everybody knows, a scary team that's going to maybe be a 6 seed in the tournament.
Well,
as
Altoona said, as of right now, I agree with Trey Mitchell. But because you could see it from the bench when he wasn't dressed, he wasn't playing. But I will say this, what I have seen out of someone in the last 4 or 5 games get heated and start mouthing, which we need one of those guys, is actually Dillingham.
Well,
I think he's going to come out when we get to the tournament
and be that guy. And he can be – he's the X factor, because he can score when he wants to, but he can also be – I can see him being a pouter if he ain't getting his way.
Oh, pouter.
If Dillingham is not getting his way, he could turn the other way on this team. Maybe he's not that guy.
He's the most explosive offensive guy we've had.
I know he is.
Tennessee.
So there's a
reason
for that.
Hey, I told everyone this weekend when we were playing, a happy Dilly is a good Dilly. An unhappy Dilly is a bad Dilly. For this team, trust me.
Sometimes you need somebody pissed off in the huddle.
Okay, I know. I'm with you. He just has to get minutes. Because if he's on the bench, he ain't a happy Dilly. And there's a lot to go around on that team. But I do think, can you all name any other teams that you think are going to be like maybe a 6-7 seed that's going to be a
San Diego State?
Before we get to some of these, San Diego State. See, I don't know much about that team at all.
How about the fact that Tuna and I both pumped up Indiana State the other night,
and then they get slammed,
and then I thought, oh man, that Indiana State game's on. I should flip it on. And I turned it on. They're down by fucking 20 points.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I just read a great article about the head coach down there, and I killed so many brain cells this weekend. I don't even remember what it was about. I need to look that up.
Dang it, too.
I know it, man.
Well, you brought up San Diego State. Did you watch the them against the Lobos the other night?
Yes.
Yeah, that cost me some money.
Yeah.
But name some other teams, guys, besides San Diego State. That's interesting. What stands out about them, too? No?
The fact they made a Final Four run last year, and I know they got some.
And they got their boys back.
Well, some of them are back. But, yeah, a majority of that team, really. But they've been there. They've been through it. And they've only got, 6 losses, 20-6. And I think people dwell too much on those, one or two.
I think Travis and I think that Illinois is one of those teams that could still do something possibly.
I mentioned them either last week or the week before.
Yeah, a couple weeks before we did. But there are, it's
I think I think Texas Tech is going to be a tough out.
Yeah.
In the tournament again.
I just think that it is truly amazing that you're almost like, I know we're getting ready to talk about this Purdue upset by Ohio State. Just you can't let that happen. But it's UConn and everybody else.
You
right
talk about
now.
Any 6 seed that scares you. I mean, I think you could lump 4 seed all the way down to 10 seed, and you don't want to play anybody because it's just so wide open.
Like Colorado State's a tough team.
They're hot. That team is real. They're one of the hottest teams out there right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of strange teams. Hell, you just mentioned them. They're playing maybe San Francisco tomorrow night, but St. Mary's. I mean, they score. Who they just beat someone.
They're playing San Francisco tonight.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Don't count
tonight.
Out the Dons. That's a scrappy little team.
Right.
I bet on them early in the year, and y'all made fun of me. Remember that?
We did. Yeah.
That was one of my three picks.
You pulled
well,
that
early
out
in the year,
you all made briefcase. Fun of me.
Their coach from last year left. He's somewhere else now, and that was the big thing. I couldn't imagine betting on them early, but like, I don't know what it is. Their last three hires out there, they've done really well, and their coach has moved on to bigger jobs. But
I noticed Arizona's coach just signed him
and
locked him down.
Kind of hoping that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, he's tough.
So, who's the best team? We talk about UConn. Who's the best team after UConn?
Houston.
I'm going to say Purdue.
No.
I know Tuna's totally off of them.
Let's talk about the Purdue game with Ohio State. How come Zach Edey is the only person in America that can move on every screen and they do not call it? Like, what? How come he's the one that gets away with it all the time?
He's a two-time All-American, Player of the Year.
I don't get it, man. It's frustrating to watch.
Soon to be.
I
want to get Travis' opinion on that.
Well, I think moving screens are a scourge in the college game. To be honest with you, it happens to a lot of. I mean, it happens a lot, but Edie is a weird guy to officiate, much the same way that Shaq was when he was in college, because there's just nobody else like him. And
Freddie Farm Bureau.
I think Purdue, and I've said this on the pod, and I know Tuna, and I get it. We can't trust them in the tournament until they show it to us. But I think this particular Purdue team is poised to make a deep run in the tournament. And I think Edie is a very unique player. I've enjoyed watching him play, as much as I hate the fact that he just kills Indiana every time they play each other. That game against Ohio State was always going to be weird because
Ohio State
Fired their coach, and you always have that one game. There's no, like, the starting quarterback goes down for a team. That next game, everybody's rallying around we rally around the team. You play your brains out that one game, and then the next game, and then the rest of the season. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State doesn't win another game for the rest of the year, but they were always going to play well the other day, and
right.
I knew that they were, and I didn't think they would win, but I knew that they would play well. But I'm interested to see how the Big Ten tournament plays out this year, because on paper, there's three teams in the Big Ten that are even worth anything.
I may just go Big 12, baby, and start lining them up.
Ask
bracket.
You guys a question on this. How much stock do you guys actually put into conference tournaments?
Me,
dude,
personally?
Oh, man. That is a
I hate
double-edged sword.
Like,
it is
but,
a
like,
double-edged
how do you feel
sword.
About a team if they lose early in the conference tournament going into the NCAA tournament?
Don't care.
Doesn't bother me one bit.
No, doesn't
me either.
I've watched teams get so hot and win conference tournaments, go out and lose first game in NCAA tournament.
It's just, yeah.
I've
seen more lose and win than win the tournament and win it. I mean, I don't know. Did UConn help me out? Did UConn win their tournament and then win the championship?
They won like 16 in a row.
Okay.
By that time.
That's right. They were beating people by like 8
They actually
points.
Compared it to, I think, the 2013 University of Louisville team when they ran the board in the conference.
Right.
And then
but I agree with you. I think it's you just don't even look at that.
I mean,
good or bad.
There's something to be said for. But a Midland team that gets hot in the conference tournament and, wins the thing and might go on. But when a really, really good team loses in the second round of their conference tournament, a lot of times I think that's the best thing that can happen to them. You get some extra days off. You get to practice. You're not playing, three games in 4 days or whatever. And I have always despise the conference tournaments because I'm one that always thinks that winning your league, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but winning your league, your actual league, is what should get you the automatic bid into the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And I hate, especially these one-bid leagues,
mm-hmm.
I hate the fact that a team can go undefeated. And, you know, if it's the Patriot League or...
Oh, yeah, Ivy, and then they get knocked out of the tournament.
Ivy or the Ivy or the MAC or one of these. And then you make it to your conference.
Even if you make it to the final and lose. Yeah, and lose, you're out.
That's the thing. There's three teams in the Ivy League this year that could probably win a game in the conference tournament.
Yes.
Or not conference tournament, but the NCAA tournament. And only one of the three is going to get in.
Yep, and I hate that. And I always,
well, you may not hate it too much longer because I think they're talking about expanding the field again, are they not?
They are.
How and I mean, awful is that?
Just to ruin
everyone's night.
It's almost
participation trophies.
It's almost like it ain't broke. Let's fix it. Like there's no better.
It's the best tournament.
In sports.
Why are we messing with it? Why are we messing with it?
And even when they added the other four on and had the play-in games, like, why are we doing this? And then it's just like, all right, I can accept the 68 now, which is just stupid, but whatever, I can deal with it.
When you're filling out your brackets, I normally take that winning team of the tournament mm-hmm. and have them winning the next game because they've already got one under their belt. They're a little hot.
This is going to get a scenario where, like, you have mid-major teams playing each other in the first round of the tournament.
Right.
And, like, the whole point of this is for, like, a mid-major team, these guys to get there and play a big-name school.
Sure.
And, like, you're not going to get that. It's going to get ripped away.
Yep.
Travis, I agree with you 1,000%.
We can't have Oral Roberts and Robert Morris.
Don't mention those two down here. Travis will stab you.
Yeah, we need one or the other.
Wait, who?
Oral Roberts.
Or Robert Morris. I need one, not both.
Is Robert Morris an evangelist, too?
Robert
Morris is just a patriot.
just a good old American boy.
Robert Morris, are they the ones that whooped Kentucky?
They beat UK a few years
back. I got to be honest with you. I don't know who Robert Morris was, but I know who Oral Roberts was, and he was an asshole.
Agree.
Hey, speaking of assholes, I'm going to spin this one around.
Yeah, please.
I think we need to talk, speaking of assholes, and you know how these coaches can be in this environment, but what did you all think, and we're talking about college sport athletics here, about the format that just came out that was voted in for the college football playoff?
Well, I mean,
not to get away from basketball, we pretty much hit on everybody. UConn.
You're going
to
get the next several weeks of just college basketball poured
right.
down the
throat. Right. So, what do y'all.
I think that, I mean, there were some questions as to exactly how the format was going to work. And, Tuna, if you have it pulled up there, or if somebody has it pulled up.
No, I mean, it's basically just the four conference winners, the Power Four now.
Power four,
you win those conferences, it's automatic bye week. You're
right.
Those four.
Okay.
So, like we mentioned outside, you could win the ACC and be ranked like the 14th overall team, but you get
the fifth one is the
fourth seed.
The fifth one is the SMU, if you will. The
at large.
The SMU at large. Which don't forget what happened to both of those.
Initial thought is last year when this – we thought this was going to be the format, but it wasn't official, and we have five conferences. So there was always going to be that Florida State that won their conference championship and didn't make it. Well, maybe the works to dissolve the Pac-12 was already underway because now we officially
have conspiracy, Johnny.
We have four Power Four conferences.
Mm-hmm.
If you win the Big 12, ACC, SEC, and Big Ten, you're in the dance.
You're in.
And that one random conference who didn't look as good as everybody else, which have been Florida State this year, that team is not left out complaining. It is officially there are four conferences. Win those four, you're in, and
right.
then we have a field of eight of the next most deserving.
Right, right. And
so,
and,
hold on.
So is
wait
it random?
Minute, wait a
is
minute.
It random
wait, the
that the
Pac-12
dissolved?
But the fifth team is one of the like the AAC and all them. The you get that
no, that's
one.
Not the fifth seed. Like they just make the playoff. The two
okay.
they're like the highest ranked non-power five.
Yeah, group of five.
Group of five gets in, but. So by your theory, Johnny, and this kind of scares me a little bit, because Notre Dame is guaranteed to never have a first round bye. So are they in the works to dissolve the ACC so they can get in?
Florida State's trying to dissolve the ACC as we're speaking.
That's a great, as it sits right now, yeah. Notre Dame cannot get a first round.
They have to play all four games.
But they do get that home field home game that is going to bring in a ton of money for them. So, and
which
I think
is obviously what they care about more. I mean, they obviously want to win, but they're guaranteed almost, if they're good enough, to get that first game at home, and it'll be a spectacle unlike you've ever seen, and it'll make a bajillion dollars. And
let's be honest, they're going to finish in the top 12 every year because –
Don't forget non-Power 5 team that got Power 4 now. The non-Power 4 team that got in last year, Liberty and SMU, let's be real here, they shit the bed.
Well, SMU is ACC member now.
It doesn't matter. I get it.
It does, because they can get a bye.
Okay, they can. But the bottom line is Oregon beat Liberty 45-6, and SMU – who fought their way and thought they got screwed and everything, he ended up getting dusted by Boston College.
Like, it might be once every 20 years, but every now and then.
Central Florida.
And Boise State. You get 07 Boise State and 2018 UCF every decade.
That's true.
There was a Cincinnati team that went undefeated. And I think
dusted by Bama.
Florida.
Well, Georgia, they played them down to the wire.
They got dusted by Bama.
Well, they played Georgia in a playoff game, and then that game was close.
They got dusted by Bama in a playoff game.
Okay, so they've been there twice.
Right.
But I'm saying that they were actually competitive against Georgia.
Are we talking about Tony Pike versus Tim Tebow? Because I remember that Sugar Bowl well.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for Georgia, but Bama took care of business.
That was a Sugar Bowl that they played in.
That was a playoff game.
I think the best thing that's ever happened, and no matter what your school is, what your affiliation is, there will be playoff football in Bryant-Denny, Death Valley, the Swamp, Rice Eccles. Like, local college fan bases will get to host a college football playoff game, and that is the most beautiful thing that sports ever had.
It's fantastic.
And even if it's only one round, you get
it will be, dude. Let's be real. These
think about
games,
the communities, the schools. Imagine,
it's gonna be unreal.
Imagine LSU hosting a playoff game or Tuscaloosa, but that's attention to that campus you haven't seen yet. I mean, a playoff, two random communities coming together. I mean, that's
it's gonna be unbelievable
at home. That's a cool experience.
It's gonna be unbelievable. I can't wait. I think if I look back at that, when I really dug into it, was looking at the games and all that, the time or the dates and everything, which they don't have all the dates right now, but one of them was going to be on a Tuesday night.
I just want a playoff game in Morgantown, West Virginia. Can we do that?
Oh, no. Yeah, well.
Can we burn Morgantown up?
Bring your batteries.
I don't know if that fan base, that stadium, anything can I think they should honestly be banned. We should start a petition to ban them from ever hosting.
But is it not beautiful that there's a chance? There's a chance.
They
we
should have to do it at Heinz Field.
There's a world where Morgantown, West Virginia could host a playoff game.
No, it scares the shit
out
of me.
And I like living in that world.
Oh, my gosh.
I went to a game there with a West Virginia fan, and I was scared to death.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
I hear you. Have you heard what is reported also that the CFP, ESPN, have come out with their contract, their television contract?
I know.
6 years, $7.8 billion.
I think we had the conversation about this during the playoff time, and I think you were about to cut my throat.
That's in two years.
Yeah.
That's in 2 years.
So do you think ESPN has anything to do with... Oh,
no, they got a little... Maybe now they do.
Okay.
They didn't then.
I got it.
Replay. Yeah. Replay.
Okay.
Did you say 7.8 billion?
Yes, billion.
Yeah.
That's absurd that it's gotten to this point.
Amateur athletics.
Oh, my
ain't
God,
it, man. Ain't it grand?
Football is 7.8 billion. It just shows. Football just dominates the world.
It does.
Like really.
It
when
does.
You look at the NFL and how dominant it is with ratings, and then college football is right there next to it. And
I mean, that's incredible to me. It shouldn't be, but those numbers are still staggering to me. $7.8 billion for college athletics.
Yeah, well, yep.
You
that's
have,
more than what Saudi Arabia pays for golfers.
Yeah.
And for any West Virginia fans, that's several million dollars.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny with the line of the night. I love it. Fred, I know that we talked at the end of last week's episode about a big derby prep that was coming up with a really good field, and I thought you might want to touch on what happened in that race and what we have upcoming to look forward to as we head on down the derby trail.
Yes, yes, we had a great derby prep, the Risen Star. However, it was horrendous weather out there, so there is yet another sloppy track race that was ran. And Sierra Leone came on, who has now won back-to-back.
What an odd name for a horse.
Sierra Leone has won back-to-back sloppy track closing. One of the best closers I've seen. It's pretty phenomenal to watch. They literally came four wide off the third turn, all out, and still he got the job done. Over track Phantom. I got pretty close to that try.
I would take Sierra Leone as the catcher of my baseball team any day. He sounds like he could throw a guy out at second base.
You know, it's Ruben Sierra's little cousin.
A good cigar.
But Sierra Leone, Track Phantom are both horses to be dealt with here in the Derby. They have enough points. They're still going to run. Sierra Leone's going to run the Bluegrass, which is cool.
Oh, yeah.
I may go down there and watch that at Keeneland. And then Track Phantom has obviously gotten enough points, has been in the money every time, and is definitely going to be one of those top five horses. Still a little green, by the way, but Sierra Leone wore blinkers, and that made the difference in this race. My horse that I picked in my big pool that I'm in, Catching Freedom, just based on the odds, was pinched and got third, even though could have won the race. So, anyways, those three horses are fantastic, and they're going to be there. Then we got, coming up this weekend, the Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn. Not necessarily a great field. There are a couple good horses in there. I'm just going to tell you, one of the horses in it that's in the Derby top 10 to keep an eye on is Timberlake. Not Amino Timberlake, but possibly named after Timberlake. But Freddie, if you want to know my bet on this one, I'm going to play some exotics, but I'm just, to make things simple, I'm taking Dwayne Lucas's horse, Just Steal, to win this race. And then we have the Saudi Cup coming up, Tuna.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about it.
Come on.
We don't talk Saudi golf. We don't talk Saudi horse racing.
We are.
The Saudi trainers are allowed to wear shorts.
But, guys, I want y'all to...
And you're right. We don't talk about Saudi golf.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
Apparently, you got to be in horse racing to be talked about.
Well, put it this way. The Saudi Cup, I want everyone to take a pick a horse in this because you know a lot of them. White Abario.
Just
came off winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. You got National Treasure.
Yeah.
Gate-to-gate winner of Louisiana. Last out. And then a horse that I'm worried about, Tuna, Lemon Pop.
That's a lot of travel for these horses. Give me one that's born and raised there.
No, Lemon Pop is born and raised there.
Give me Lemon Pop all day.
14 races, 10 wins, 3 seconds.
In the desert?
Yes.
Okay.
That is Lemon Pop. He is a Japan champion.
I thought he was born there.
I don't know where he's from.
Japan,
he's from
Saudi
Japan.
Arabia, they're right next to each other.
It's all the same.
Right next to each other.
It's all the same.
I'm out on Lemon Pop.
But seriously, Crown Pride,
Crown Pride. Now that sounds like
a horse that has been doing well. Ran in the Derby. Did well in the Derby.
That sounds like a horse that was born in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, you've got an American horse defunded in there. Derma Satogake.
Like a Saudi horse.
Derma Satogake.
Definitely
is
not
in
a,
it. As you remember me calling
in
the Derby.
So how is
this
a Derby prep if you've got Derby?
This is not a Derby prep. This is a Saudi Cup. Saudi Derby.
I thought, okay.
The Saudi Cup. You've got national, like I said, National Treasure. Senior Buscador is another great horse doing well that's going to be in that race. I'm telling you right now, guys, you got to watch it. The Saudi Derby or Saudi Cup.
When is it, Fred?
It's Saturday. All day Saturday.
Okay.
Horses everywhere going. So keep an eye on it. It's great betting, great handicapping going on. And then just the Rebel. That's all I got for you. I'll give you my next week. I'm going to give you my top 10 based on some of these preps that's happened the last few weeks.
I love that. And it is, I mean, we're getting to the point where the preps really start meaning something. Like you said, some horses already have enough points.
I mean, you got to keep an eye on those horses. You know, they're not gonna drum it out at the end if they got the lead and someone's flying up behind them. You know what I mean?
Right.
They've got the points. They
right.
don't need it.
Right. Well, with all that being said, I think we will go ahead and send it around the room and get our, if you have, I know there's not a lot of necessarily stuff going on this week, but if you do have picks for us, throw them out there and give us your final thoughts. And Tuna, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday of this week, Major League Baseball spring training games start.
All right.
So that's something to keep an eye on. It's here. We've all been waiting for it, and it's here. And there's still a couple big names out on the free agent market to keep an eye on. You have Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman. They're all still out there. So we could see some movement here as spring training gets going. And also this past weekend, we had a big weekend of college baseball. And Johnny, why don't you tell us real quick about the LSU?
Yeah.
Fighting Tigers off to a big start.
As it happens, LSU happens to be the only team with four wins so far. They're for start of the season 4-0. They absolutely whooped up on VMI and University of Central Arkansas, two very tough competitors.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday, they did score 27 runs in 7 innings.
And there was a spectacular play made out in the outfield.
There was. Paxton Kling.
Yes.
Long hair, big nose.
Yes.
Can't miss him.
Yep.
He caught the ball. I'm excited about college baseball. Florida did start 0-1, got rained out the rest of the year, so they have lost 100% of the games they've played. So that's off to a good start. LSU has won 400% of the games they've played, if my numbers add up. I'm excited about college baseball.
That's at West,
I'm not a
that's
big
at West Virginia
guy,
math.
It sounds good.
Hey, while we got Johnny on there, give us a pick, Johnny. Get on the board here. What do you got? What do you like?
Well, as you listen
pick
to this, the game
Stars over the Preds.
The game will be this evening. As you listen to this, I think Kenny Payne gets one of his last wins in the Yum Center versus Notre Dame.
Mm. Oh,
yeah. I agree.
Well, that's worthy of
that game's tonight.
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
Money line.
Cats and the Cards play tomorrow night.
That's okay. Like two of the worst teams in Power 5 basketball history.
And I was always told bet with your head, not your heart. So I do believe also tomorrow, I believe the Kentucky Wildcats beat my LSU Tigers in the PMAC.
Yeah.
So put the Cats on the board. And then easy money. Thursday, the Stars play. The Ottawa Senators. And I see the Stars in the win column on Thursday. So that's my three of the week. And if we are keeping score, LSU's on pace to go 60-0 in baseball. So you could probably just keep betting them all year.
Let it ride.
Watch out for the Tide.
Let it ride.
The Tide got a good team coming back.
We need to make a trip to Omaha this summer.
Yes, I tell you, a long shot bet. legitimate long shot bet, college baseball, Jack Caglione to win the Golden Spikes. That's the Heisman of college baseball. He has played one game this season. Get in early, Jack Caglione, Florida pitcher. He's the Shohei Ohtani of baseball and of the college baseball. He's a pitcher, first baseman, power hitter, dominant pitcher.
That with a K or a C?
Can we call him Caglione?
It was.
I would throw some money on him. Odds probably aren't great, but it's early. Throw some money on. He'll probably be lifting the Golden Spikes.
He
by
was
the
back
end of the
with
season.
Here. He was with them last year, and yeah.
Yeah, he's impressive. If you want to watch college baseball for no other reason, Jack Caglione is a phenomenal athlete to watch and pretty fun to see where he'll end up. He'll be. I would be shocked if he's not the first pick in next year's MLB draft. The season just started. Sadly, he's 0-1. We'll see how he turns it around, but keep that in mind.
Freddie, what do you have for us?
I gave you one pick already. Just steal to win the Rebel. That is a Dwayne Lucas horse who's had a couple of seconds. Nice, gritty horse. I don't think that there's a minute. I don't see a good field in this Rebel. I'm kind of surprised. Wanted to say, are we bringing around the room?
Yeah.
I wanted to say also Stronghold won the Sunland Derby. That was Sunday. Another horse that gained 20 points to keep an eye on there. Wanted to bring it around. That pick in Kentucky, those are my choices, Jody. And if you're going to give me a third one, I'm going with the Gales tonight. I'm going with...
Well, that doesn't help our listeners very
much. I'm going with St. Mary's,
I believe, is a 7.5-point favorite over San Francisco tonight.
Yes, okay. Over your team, Jody, your old team.
Are you taking the points, the
7.5? Yes.
And tuna.
Yes. And then I'm taking Kentucky, giving the points to LSU, and then I'm taking Just Steel in that race. And I wanted to bring it around the room. I want to put out a float. I'm not putting it out. There is a... big floating rumor going around.
Oh, baby.
The horse racing world that Bob Baffert's horses are going to be running in the Derby. The Kentucky Derby. So, everyone, it's circling widespread right now that apparently, speaking of Stronghold, who won the Sunland Derby, we're going to find out just who won the battle, Churchill Downs or the owners and him, and it's looking that someone gave in.
Interesting.
So we will see what happens, but you heard it here first, folks.
Let's all say our prayers for Bob Baffert's horses.
Well, we want him in because he has the best horse, in my opinion, right now.
Jody.
Called Nisos.
Jody, what do you have for us?
I got UK money line against LSU.
Okay.
I got Bama money line against Florida.
Roll damn time.
You're not going to take the 4.5?
No. There's a reason.
Oh.
Well, what's the reason?
I got Purdue, the spread against Rutgers in the coming. Purdue's going to kill them.
That's a good bet.
And my fourth pick, because we're doing four this week, Fred.
What?
Yeah, we passed it around. I don't think you saw the board. Sorry.
Never mind.
Must have not have read the text.
I'll take the West.
I got UK money line against Bama later in the week.
Oh.
It's on Saturday.
Oh, wow. You're taking the win there. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Jody, I've got Colin's picks. He's taking Dayton -2.5 against George Mason. He is taking his beloved Florida Gators +8 against Freddie's Alabama Crimson Tide.
You know, I like that Florida team.
Yeah,
I kind of do.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
That Clayton kid's tough.
He is taking Richmond -4.5 against Archie Miller's Rhode Island team, who is horrendous.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
Tell Jim Herrick that.
Oh. Didn't expect to hear Jim Herrick's voice or name.
-4.5. Richmond -4.5.
Former Rhode Island.
Yeah, I know.
Islander.
And I am going to do a all Travis three-team pick. I've got don't know what the spread is, don't care. I'm taking Indiana to beat Caitlin Clark and Iowa on Thursday night. Against my better judgment, I am taking Indiana plus one at home. This is, this is a complete embarrassment. I honestly shouldn't bet this because Indiana should never be a home underdog to anybody, let alone Nebraska.
Oof, that's embarrassing.
But they are a one-point underdog against Nebraska. And I'm going to take Indiana to win that game outright.
The hell with the corn. We don't want no corn.
And then I am going to take Vandy in Memorial Gym.
Betting with your heart.
Plus two against Georgia.
Okay.
And as Johnny said, he thought it would be one of Kenny Payne's last wins at Louisville. This will be one of Jerry Stackhouse's last wins at Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And those are my three picks for the week. And
is Tuna giving his?
Yeah, I'm taking Hurricane over San Lorenzo in the Argentina Liga Premier Cup thing.
Yeah, make sure you write that down, Jerry.
Wait a minute,
I quit.
Yeah.
I quit.
What
Mic
are you
drop.
Saying?
I'm out.
Bear Cost Racing.
No, Tuna has no picks this week.
Tuna has no picks this week,
which is okay.
Well, here I have my fourth, and it's a lot harder than these other picks.
I think you have eight on the board right
no,
now.
No, we have two, three. Oh. He said it was four. My other pick is National Treasure in the Saudi Derby.
Beautiful.
I'm going to take National Treasure.
He will steal the
Go
Declaration
America.
Of Independence.
Go America.
Guys, thank you for being here tonight. We didn't know how long we were going to be able to go because we weren't sure there was going to be a lot to talk about, but somehow we always find a way to extend this thing to about an hour and a half. It was a great episode tonight. Thank you to everybody for listening. Please give us a follow on social media. For Johnny Fever, Mr. Electricity, the big fellow of the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.